Welcome to the SpinAxis podcast. I'm Eric Barseski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
In this episode, we're going to talk about the four different types of students. There's some subcategories, but just four general students that we see as coaches, or I'm sure other coaches see as well. Eric, do you want to dive into them?
I came up with a list of these, and I'm not sure if you guys agree or disagree with them, but I came up with a list of what I saw as the four main types of students. And I called them, we'll talk about them individually, some of them more than others. I called them type one, I called the antagonist. Type two, I called it the mommy fix my boo-boo golfer. Type three is the well-meaning student. And type four is the great student, the awesome student, the all-star. I came up with a quasi type five. I called it the recreational lesson taker. And we'll talk about that one first because it's not really a type. It's the golfer at a resort who takes a golf lesson because it's something to do, right? They fit it in between their tennis lesson and their boating lesson and their yoga class and their poetry reading class and the other things they do at a resort when they're on vacation. So I taught at Chautauqua Golf Club for a while, and we had some golfers, not all of them. Some of them were serious golfers that wanted to get better in the 3 weeks that they were at the resort. But some would be like, oh, it's Tuesday. That's time for my golf lesson because that's what I do for an hour on Tuesdays when I'm here. So we won't talk about that one too much, but we all have seen that kind of golfer. So type one, the antagonist is what I called it. This is the golfer that thinks that they know more about the golf swing than you do and shows up and argues with you during the golf lesson about like what they're doing. And everyone can be some of any of these types from time to time.
Absolutely.
The great student can be the antagonist occasionally. Doesn't mean that's a bad thing necessarily. But generally speaking, I don't think we see too many of these golfers anymore because with the advent of the internet and stuff, they just don't go to people that they think are idiots.
Yeah, I think it's one of those that I definitely do see less than I used to see. I used to see this quite a bit in, you know, they come in and they literally will go on for 15 minutes about all the things they know they're doing wrong and how to fix it. But yet when you watch, then you play back the video and you have the data to tell them you just literally did nothing you just talked about. they now know that they can't fool that anymore. They can't trick the system.
One of my first online lessons was a guy, and I'll never forget this. His comments to me was, I'm a plus two handicap. And then he listed all the things he's doing wrong in his swing and all these things that he wants to change. And he sends me the videos and I just watch him and I'm just like, man, your grip's just really weak right now. Your ball position is a little too far back. Let's just move that ball position, maybe a ball forward, and let's just strengthen that grip just a little bit. And then just send me a follow-up video. Like, I'll reopen the lesson. I want to see that. And, you know, a day later, I get like a thing. I can't remember. No, I looked at it and it's like, oh, I got a 1-star review. It was from this guy. And I messaged him and I was like, hey, man, I just noticed that you gave me a 1-star review. Like, what's happened? Like, you didn't like the first bit of that? He's like, that was a terrible listen. How dare you tell me that all I need to do is like move my ball position and change my grip? Huh. I was like, well, the lesson wasn't done. But I mean, did you do those things yet? He's like, no, I haven't. I'm like, okay, well, can you go please do those things and then send me a video and let me know how it goes? And like a day and a half comes by, he messaged me and he's like, yeah, definitely hitting the ball as good as I ever have now. Thanks a lot for that. And I was like, okay, I mean, awesome. Like, that's all it was. That's all you needed. Like, you didn't need to do all those other things. Like, if you could do me a favor and just delete that review. And he's like, yeah, no, I'll do that. I'm really sorry about that. Like, yeah, no big deal. Right. And so sometimes it's just little stuff. Like, people overcomplicate it. And, you know, like we've chatted about in the past, there's so much information out there. Right. And people come in with too much information in their brain. That's where you need a good coach that can like break down all the things that's happening in your brain right now, where it's like, no, let's just work on like one or two easy things. And like Tyson said, you can show them exactly what they need, what's happening. And then that can quiet, you know, their mind or all their thoughts in their golf game and their golf swing.
Yeah. Occasionally you get the antagonist who comes from, I've been swinging this way, and I'm not going to name any swing methods, but I'm a fan of this swing method and this is what I want to do. And you can show them that that's not how tour players actually swing, or they're misunderstanding the concepts in that thing, even though they've been doing it for 4 years and they think they're playing the best golf that they've ever played. They're still coming to you for a lesson. I also find that with the advent of a lot of technology like gears, like force plates, like those kinds of things, we can just factually show people.
Absolutely.
Right.
Here's what's happening. And so the antagonist has kind of gone by the wayside, I think we'd all agree. Or at least they just go to that camp. They just go to that golf school. They just go to see that teacher that they agree with and they've aligned themselves with. And then we don't hear from them anymore because it's a waste of their time and our time and their money. Anyway, so type two was the mommy fix my boo-boo golfer, which is a lot of early golfers think that they will go to a golf lesson. You will say some words. If they understand the words that you're saying to them, they will be a better golfer because they say, oh, I need to do that. Okay, I'll do that. Well, no, it's more than that. So they're looking for a Band-Aid. They're looking for a quick fix. They're looking for something where I understand what the instructor is telling me to do, so I will be better if I do that. Yes, you will be better if you do that, but there's a big gap between I understand what he's trying to tell me to do and I can now do that thing.
Yeah. And this is the one that's really tough because it's sometimes just a big eye opener for the student, right? They're in there, they've paid their money and they're like, I'm going to be better instantly after I go get this lesson. And it's like, this isn't like, you know, an oil change. It's not just you like fluids out, fluid in, you know what I mean? Like it's, you've got 10, 15, 20 years of a bad move.
I hope there's not many fluids coming out of your golf lessons.
Yeah. Free waters. That's about it.
Right.
There's no bathroom in the studio, but yeah, it's just, it takes time. Right. And going in for a golf lesson, and don't get me wrong, there's always those ones where it's like, oh, it's just this or that. And it's like, man, that made such a huge change. And you love those coaches. But I also love the long-term ones where, yeah, you know, you've been teaching for someone for 2-3 years and all of a sudden they come in and give them a lesson. You're like, man, it looks good. Like, that's not much. You know what I mean? Like, how are you playing? And they're like, pretty darn good. Okay, well, let's fine tune a couple things, but the generality of your swing looks really good because they put in months or years of work, like changing that pattern. And again, like Tyson said in the years in past episodes, their old move's still in there. You just have added a new pre-shot routine and a new feel, or maybe they've gone to the gym, you know, like even for myself, I talk about this a lot. Like I have some bad movements in my golf swing. Well, that's because I can't move my body too well. So I need to work more on my body sometimes so that I can make those good moves in my swing. And if you're like that, you go into a golf lesson and you haven't, you know, you don't know what's wrong with your body. And the instructor goes, oh, you know, you're doing X, Y, Z. And you're like, all right, well, what should it feel like? And they move you like that, or you move like that. And you're like, oh, that's really tight. Well, guess what? You're probably not going to be able to do that under pressure, right? You got some other work to do first outside of that golf lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, there's probably almost always a moment in these, you know, fix my boo-boo lessons where as a coach, I can see when the player realizes, oh, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought it was going to be. You can kind of see when it sort of washes over them like, oh, dang. And I think, you know, Jason sort of noted on it there. That's when the coaching aspect starts to come in. Like, this isn't just a technical piece. You're here for a golf lesson. I don't know that a lot of people realize that the coaching aspect that goes into making people better as well. Yes, we're trying to make our technique better. We're trying to make you swing better and move better and all that. But a lot of these people also need some of that coaching, which is, hey, this is hard, but this is the process that is going to take to make you better. And just because it's hard doesn't mean we can't get you there. And again, it's just, that's the challenge as a coach to help that player standing in front of you be better.
It's funny you say you can see it wash over them when they start to realize. The other time the things wash over them is when they go, oh, I did that a lot and he's telling me I need to do it 10 times as much as he's telling as I just felt that I did it.
I had a D1 college golfer have that exact look today. Exact look. It's like, man, I just felt like I moved that.
Right. It's crazy how extreme some things are.
Yeah. When you get someone that comes in and they're swinging 12 degrees to the left as a right-handed golfer, and then you're like, all right, I want you to put a ball into like the wall on my right side of my studio, and they swing it and it's 3 degrees into out. And they're like, what? Like, that's only 3 degrees? I'm like, yeah, man, that's like, now you're just on the other side of that path. And they're like, golly, man, that felt so crazy.
Right, that's playable there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Type three is the most common. Type three is the well-meaning student. It's a student that fully intends to, like, they understand that it's going to be not an instant thing. They understand they're going to have to do some work. They might have a net at home. They might be like, all right, gung-ho a little bit. Sometimes they realize, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to practice, like, twice this week, twice next week, maybe once the next week because it's a little busy. They realize sometimes that they're going to have a limited amount of time to practice and stuff, but they always think, like, oh, this is the year I get better. I'm going to really focus on this. And then it's like a lot of people going to the gym in early January where they're like, okay, this is the year I'm going to get fit and I'm going to go to the gym. And then Quitter's Day happens, second Friday, I think, of January. And they fall off the wagon and they don't practice it because they don't get results as fast as they're like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Well, if you didn't lose 15 the first week, it starts to be like, wait, what am I doing wrong? No, this it's going to take longer than that.
Yeah,
no, it's going to take longer than that. Okay. So the well-meaning student, they have good intentions, but they don't quite know how to practice the right way. They swing too fast. They expect results too quickly and so on.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say like just life, like so many normal people that we almost allow life to interrupt those aspirations that you're talking about, right? We all,
but it's not even about the life interrupting aspirations all the time. Sometimes they just don't know how to practice.
And they don't even know.
We can't spend 6 hours telling them all that we know about how to practice because that would be a 7-hour lesson. It's not always just that they plan to practice for 10 hours a week and then stuff happens and so they can't. They just don't know how to spend, even if they have 10 hours in a week, they don't know how to spend it.
Yeah. And you're right too, Eric, like so many people now do have something at home, whether that's a full blown simulator. I can't tell you how many people I teach that have, you know, setups that are nicer than my studio anymore. Right. But you also see a lot of nets, a lot of mats, a lot of stations that they do have at home. And to your point, they don't know how to use it, but they do want to be better. They do have those good intentions. What do you see there, Jason?
Yeah. And I agree with both what you're saying. The hard part is sometimes that they're so, what's the word I'm looking for? So motivated too quickly. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, those people that get burned out of the gym. They're like, I'm going to go to the gym. They go to the gym for like 3 hours and then they're too sore. Then they don't go to the gym for like 3-4 days. Then they don't go to the gym at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to ingrain, you know, a new movement or a new pre-shot routine or a new grip or whatever it is, right? You need to do it slowly and you need to do it with less reps, but more often. Like, hopefully that makes sense. Because I don't want you to go, if you got a studio, I don't want you to go, all right, see ya, you know, honey and kids, I'm going to be in there for 3 hours today. It's like, no. Go 10, 20 minutes, like work on it, then leave or take a little break and then come back. That's how you're going to be able to ingrain those patterns. Because again, this is something new, just like weight loss. If you all, like, diets don't work because they're so different that you can't get comfortable within it. If you want to change, like if you want to lose weight or get stronger, it's that you've made a new habit, and which is basically the golf swing. I've been trying to write this book forever, The Habit of the Golf Swing, but that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to change a habit that you've done for 10 years, 15 years, like the amount of years and motions and how it's hardwired in your brain. You need to start sometimes even the pre-shot routine. Like, if you don't change that, it's going to be hard to change the habit of everything leading up past that, right? So same thing with you. If you're going to the gym, lay out your clothes, do something different the night before so that in the morning you look at your clothes and you're like, oh yeah, I got to go work out. They're right here. You put them on and you go work out. It's the same thing with your golf swing. You need to take that great ability of like, I want to learn. All right, well, I need to do something different. And then I just need to do it, right? Even if it is literally like 5 practice swings a day, just keep at that habit and it will start going, oh, then it'll be 10 practice swings and then 10 foam balls and then 30 foam balls and then 10 real balls at slow speed and then 50 balls at slow speed. And then, you know, then you put your screen back on and you hit shots. Like it, you need to ramp up into that. And obviously you should be having feedback through that from a coach, you know, or camera or whatever it is, so that you know, are those feels starting to stick in? But don't go too hard too early because you will burn yourself out.
Yeah, totally agreed. Like, I think for that well-meaning student, Eric, would you agree that that's one of those, as a coach, we might try to help, you know, keep guide them maybe a little bit more, keep them motivated a little bit more because we do know how good their intentions are. Is that fair, or how do you see that?
Yeah, those are the students that this is the bulk of everyone's lessons.
Yeah.
It's the person who doesn't quite know how to practice. They like to go too fast. Like I said, it's good for those students to check in regularly with instructors because we can say, you're going a little too fast, slow down, you can do this. We can kind of steer them back on track.
Yeah.
When they start to veer too far offline, we can say, this is pretty good. Make sure you are aware of this. Keep doing this a little bit more. Make sure the other thing we worked on 3 months ago isn't like falling back. So, you know, give a little attention to that now and then. We can kind of steer them back on track and kind of teach them how to practice gradually rather than just saying, okay, come to my 6-hour seminar on how to practice.
Yeah.
which would be nice if we could record that. But even if we recorded something,
it's no less than that.
30-minute thing, nobody's gonna watch it.
Yeah.
Right? This well-meaning student is not gonna watch it. Some might.
You can't do it.
And then they'll get bored and start looking at Twitter on their phone while the video's playing in the background. They're not going to necessarily even watch that, even if we could somehow make a 30-minute video on how to practice and how to be awesome. But the students who are awesome is the great student. Mm. This is the student that they don't do everything perfectly, but they do a really good job.
Right.
They practice slowly. They monitor results. They use feedback. They go at the right pace. They have foam balls. They understand they're not going to see immediate results. They do a lot of things. And they spend 10 minutes a day on their golf, even on the days when they're not going to practice a lot.
Yep.
They'll do something for 10 minutes at a time, once in a day. And then the other days, they'll do it a little bit more. They'll do 20-minute sessions or something like that. So those are the awesome students. And we don't need to talk about them too much, but what do you guys think about those? What percentage of your students would you say are the great student? And everyone, the great students can fall back into a mommy fix my boo-boo golfer sometimes for some things and then come back to being a type 4 great student.
I would say they're higher than in the last two or three years. I've seen a lot more of those students. And I would have to agree into what Tyson's is. A lot of people have simulators at home and they're really in tune into their golf game and what they're trying to do that. But when I first started, there was not a lot. Maybe three of my golfers were like that. Everybody else were come in for one golf lesson. And it's
when you teach more online, so your people have self-selected into being a little bit more of the serious golfer that's going to practice.
Yeah, they're more hardcore for sure.
A little bit. Tyson, what percent do you think are yours?
Yeah, if I look at it, I would say it's 10% of my total student base, right?
At any given time.
At any given time, correct. And there's just a handful of those players that come to mind, and they'll always come in and they'll literally have notes, right? They'll have things that they want to talk about because they're that great student who's doing all the right stuff when they're away. They know that they only have a certain amount of time with me in this lesson, and they want to prioritize it, right? Because they've been tracking their progress on their own. It definitely makes it's a very, very fun lesson as a coach when you have that student who is engaged to that degree, because you get to the stuff quicker, and it's fun to watch.
Quicker by going slower.
You get to it quicker by doing less.
On the one piece at a time.
You're doing less with that player.
Yep.
But it's because they've done things the right way through their history, right, with you.
It's funny. My great students often, they'll send me a text, and because I'm teaching, I don't see the message, and I'll leave it unread. I'll see it later. And then I look back 5 hours later when I'm done for the day or something, and I will have 3 more messages from them.
Yeah.
And the first one will be, here's a video. Here's what I'm doing. Ugh, this is frustrating. Message 2 is, you must be teaching, so get back to me when you can. Message 3 is, I looked at that video while I was waiting and I saw this. And then message 4 is, here's an updated video where I was slowed down and did that thing again. I'm all good. No need to reply.
It's a lot better.
Yeah.
Right. So those are the great students because
they did it themselves.
They slipped back into a well-meaning student maybe for a little bit.
Love that. Yeah.
Kind of reset, and we're in that time they looked at their video, it's I need to be better about doing that thing a little bit slower. I'm still not quite there. I'm gonna do that better. One of the commonality that our great students also have, all 3 of us, is they all listen to this podcast. So
it's the truth.
That's one thing. If you want to elevate yourself to type 4 great student,
that's right.
Share this. If you want to elevate your friends, share this podcast with them. Where can they find us, Jason?
That's fantastic. They can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis, and they can find us online at thespinaxis.com. And you can listen to all our old episodes on there as well.
Listen.
Right. If you're a new subscriber, go back and listen to the old ones, and that's then right. You'll be a super great student.
You'd be a super duper great student.
Super duper. All right. Super Dave Osborne. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, have a good week.